I'm standing at the kitchen sink when my phone starts vibrating on the counter. I don't dry my hands right away. I already know who it is. The rice is still steaming behind me. My mother is asleep on the couch. My aunt's pills are lined up in a plastic cup like always. Everything is where it's supposed to be. The phone keeps vibrating. I let it. I think about how many times I've picked up without thinking. How many times my body moved before my mind did. I think about how quiet the apartment gets when no one needs me for a few seconds. I don't remember the last time someone asked how I was without needing something after. The phone stops. Then it starts again. I finally pick it up, already saying yes in my head. That's when I feel it. Not anger, not sadness, just the fear that if I don't answer, I won't know who I am anymore. Chapter 1, Pressure. My name is Lisa Ramos. I was 39 when I realized I couldn't remember what I wanted. I wake up before everyone else. I always have. My body learned it before I did. Even on days when I don't set an alarm, my eyes open at 5. The apartment is quiet then. That's when I move the slowest. I sit on the edge of the bed and listen to my mother breathing in the next room. I count it without meaning to. I always know if something sounds off. I go to the kitchen. I rinse the rice 3 times. My grandmother taught me that when I was a girl. She said the first rinse was for the dirt. The second was for what you can't see. The third was for respect. No one asks me to do it that way. I just do. By 6, the coffee is ready. I crush my aunt's pills and mix them into applesauce. She doesn't like how they taste, even after all these years. I still try to hide it. I don't eat breakfast right away. I wait. Someone always needs something. My mother wakes up coughing. I bring her water before she calls my name. She doesn't say thank you. She never has. She doesn't need to. When I was younger, people told me I was good. Not smart, not talented, good. Good meant helpful. Good meant quiet. Good meant I didn't complain. I moved back home after my father died. That was supposed to be temporary. Just until my mother adjusted, just until my aunt found somewhere else to go, just until things settled. Things never settled. They stacked. I work part-time at a clinic. It's close enough that I can come home if something happens. I turned down a full-time position 2x. The supervisor stopped asking after that. Sometimes she looks at me like she wants to say something else. She never does. At home, my cousins call when they need advice. My uncle calls when he needs paperwork translated. Neighbors knock when someone is sick. I don't know when I became the person everyone decided would always be available. I just know that I am. There are moments when I feel it in my chest, a tightness, like something is pushing outward but doesn't know where to go. I breathe through it. I wash another dish. One night, I find an old notebook while cleaning the hall closet. It's mine. My name is written on the front in handwriting I barely recognize. Inside are half-written plans, classes I wanted to take, a city I wanted to visit, a version of myself that assumed time was something that waited. I sit on the floor holding it while the washing machine hums. No one comes looking for me. No one notices I'm gone. I put the notebook back. I don't tell anyone I found it. That night, lying in bed, I stare at the ceiling and feel something crack. Not loud, not sudden, just enough to know it happened. I think, for the first time, I don't know how long I can keep doing this. And I don't know who I'd be if I stopped. Chapter 2. It starts with my aunt falling in the bathroom. I hear it from the kitchen, a sound that doesn't belong. I run before I think. She's on the floor, embarrassed more than hurt. She keeps apologizing while I help her up. I tell her it's fine. I always do. At the hospital, the doctor talks to me instead of her. I answer without correcting him. I know her history better than she does. I always have. They suggest in-home care, even part-time. The doctor says it carefully, like he's worried about offending me. I laugh. I say I've got it handled. On the drive home, my aunt sleeps in the passenger seat. My hands grip the steering wheel too tightly. I feel something rising in my throat. I swallow it. The calls increase after that. Everyone has opinions. Everyone has advice. No one offers to stay. My cousin tells me I'm strong. My uncle says I'm doing the right thing. My mother says nothing at all. I start forgetting things, small things at first. A bill, an appointment. I miss a dose of medication one morning and don't realize until hours later. The guilt hits hard. I sit on the bathroom floor shaking. I tell myself it was a mistake. Everyone makes mistakes, but I know better. I'm tired. One afternoon at work, a patient thanks me for listening. She says I have a calming presence. I smile automatically. In the break room, I catch my reflection in the microwave door. I look older than I feel. Or maybe I feel older than I am. I don't know anymore. That night, my mother asks me why dinner is late. Something inside me snaps. Not loudly, not enough for anyone else to hear. But I feel it. I say I'm doing my best. My voice sounds strange. She looks at me, surprised. I've never said that before. Later, alone in my room, I press my face into the pillow and scream without sound. My chest hurts. My hands shake. I think about leaving. Just walking out. Just once. The thought scares me more than it comforts me. The next morning, the phone rings while I'm in the shower. By the time I answer, it's stopped. There's a voicemail. It's my supervisor. She says they filled the full-time position. She says she understands. I sit on the edge of the tub, dripping water onto the floor, and realize something has been decided without me. That's when I know nothing is going to change unless I do something that feels unforgivable, and I don't know if I'm brave enough to do it. After, things don't fall apart all at once. They loosen. I agree to a visiting nurse twice a week. I don't tell anyone until it's already scheduled. My aunt looks relieved. My mother looks betrayed. No one yells. That hurts more. I go back to full-time hours at the clinic. The routine is different now. I'm gone longer. I come home to quiet. I didn't create. Some days I sit in my car after work and don't move. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with time that belongs to me. The guilt doesn't disappear. It changes shape. It shows up at night. It shows up when my mother sighs loudly. It shows up when relatives stop calling as much. I start eating lunch alone in the park near work. I bring a book. I don't always read it. Once I write my name at the top of a blank page and stop there. I still take care of them, just not at the same cost. That's what I tell myself. But some nights when the apartment is quiet and no one needs me, I feel something else, a hollow space where obligation used to live. I don't know what goes there yet. I know I'm not finished sacrificing. I also know I can't disappear completely. Sometimes I think about that notebook in the closet. I haven't opened it again. I know it's there. For now, that has to be enough.